before we begin today, I just feel like it's something that I should call our attention to, that there's just this tension in the air, this somber mood. I just kind of feel a burden for everything that's been going on with Jim and Janie, and I just wanted to name that and say it's okay. Worship doesn't just have to be a time of hands in the air, praising God for everything that is good and ignoring the bad things in life. It's okay to be mad sometimes, to be disappointed, and to have struggles. So I just wanted to name that this morning, because the Psalms are full of laments, full of times when people just cried out to the Lord and say, why? Why? So as I begin this message this morning, I realize that it's not necessarily all filled with happiness and puppy dogs and candy and things like that. There is things that I'm going to be talking about today that are going to be hard for me, and they might be hard for you to hear as well. And perhaps it's just a reflection upon the mood that I've been in this week, and I hope you can forgive me for that and be with me in prayer for myself and for all those who have been affected this week through various tragedies as well. But as I was thinking this morning about this cold weather that we're having and the ice and the snow and the roads that have been shut down and schools, well, schools probably would have been canceled today, the churches that have been canceled, it's hard for me to think back to July when things were sunny and warm. But this past July, Mennonite Church USA had their biannual meeting in San Jose, California. And they have these meetings, like I said, biannual meetings every other year. They have these meetings to have the business meetings where they decide important things for our denomination. There were things discussed such as healthcare access for people within the Mennonite Church and how to disagree with other Christians in a Christian way. So these are all important things that were discussed at the business meetings. But outside of the business meetings, there's also a lot of discussion. A lot of socialization goes on. A lot of people get together and they talk and they have fellowship. And a lot of times we hear questions asked in these groups. And what do you think is the most common question asked whenever Mennonites get together from around the country? So they come together for an occasion such as this. What is the most common question asked among these people? How are we related? Does that sound familiar? How are we related? Well, our scripture for today, the two scriptures, if you've been paying attention over Advent, you've noticed that we've had an Old Testament passage and the New Testament passage. They are related. When you hear these questions, when you hear these scriptures, you need to be asking yourself the same kind of questions that we hear at Mennonite Church USA biannual meetings. How are these two related? Our Old Testament scripture for today comes from Isaiah. And this is a book just full of prophecy. Full of Isaiah's visions for the future. He sees things that are to come. And then our New Testament passage for today comes from Luke, where Mary begins the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. So how are these passages related? We have the prophecy, and we have the fulfillment. Now, to better understand the prophecy of Isaiah, we need to really understand the situation which Isaiah is living in. Isaiah is living about 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a long time ago. And the world that Isaiah was living in was not a nice, comfortable, peaceful world. Isaiah lived in a world of fear. During Isaiah's time, there was this national powerhouse called Assyria that was up to the northeast of Jerusalem where Isaiah lived. And Assyria was just this growing power. They were able to just kind of come in contact with all this land around them and just absorb it into their nation. Under the kings, I think Sennacherib the fifth and Sargon II, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the nation of Assyria. These people came in and just overtook the entire nation. They took them out into exile. And when we hear about the 10 lost tribes of Israel, they didn't get lost because they had bad directions or because they made a wrong turn. They were lost because of Assyria, because Assyria came in and took their land. So this is the world which Isaiah is living in. It's a scary time. Isaiah didn't know if he was going to live another day. He didn't know if his city would be wiped out and overtaken by this Assyrian powerhouse. So it was a scary time, a time of warfare, a time of strife. He didn't know if he would live another day or not. So it was during this time, about the year 700 B.C., when Isaiah received this message from the Lord. And he's given this vision, and he sees this dry, desolate desert. Now, I've never really lived in a desert, but I can't imagine that it's an overly pleasant place to live. Especially not in Isaiah's day, way before air conditioning and bottled water. I don't know how they would have survived in that kind of situation. But this is what Isaiah saw. He saw this dry place, a place that nobody would want to live. But then out of this place, he saw new life blooming like a crocus. He saw new things coming, a spring of water sprouting up and giving new life to this dry place. He saw this, and this is what God tells him in verse 4 from our scripture for today. In the middle of all this warfare and all this strife, God says to him, "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and with terrible recompense. He will come and save you." In the middle of all this trouble, in the middle of all this strife, in the middle of all this warfare, this message of God comes to Isaiah and tells the people, do not fear. God will save you. Now, if we look at the history of Jerusalem, God did save Jerusalem for a while. He saved them for about another 114 years. Because in the year 586, Jerusalem was overtaken by the Babylonians. So is this really what Isaiah was talking about when he says that the people will be saved? Is this what he's talking about when he says that God will be with them? Is he saying they will be saved for the next 114 years? I don't think so. Because when God gives this message to Isaiah, he's talking more about the messianic expectation of what is to come in the future. He's not talking about the here and now. He's talking about what is to come. And what is to come? As we look at this passage from Isaiah, we learn that in this time that is to come, the Messiah will bring about a time when the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap, those that are without the ability to speak will sing out to God. This is a time that is not here with them at that time, because people were still blind, they were still deaf, they were still not able to walk. So this is something in the future, something that they could look forward to. Now we fast forward about 700 years, and we have this passage. This passage with Mary's song. She receives this message from the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel tells her that she is about to bear a son. She's going to give birth to God's child. A child not inspired by a man, but by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think Mary fully understood everything that this meant. I don't think she understood that this person within her was going to be everything that Jesus was. But what really mattered to her was that she was chosen by God to fulfill one of God's purposes. That God had chosen to work through her. So she sang. She sang this song. Now, I don't think Mary expected that she was going to be given power or prestige. I don't think Mary expected money or fame because God had chosen to work through her. She wasn't just expecting something out of the deal. She was happy because God had chosen to work through her to fulfill His purposes. Now those of us that are gathered here today that would call upon the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believe that He is the Son of God. He is the one that Mary bore, the person that Mary carried in her womb for 9 months, the seed of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus came to this world to fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah and others before him and after him foretold in the Old Testament. We believe that Jesus fulfilled this prophecy where it was mentioned that the blind would see, that the deaf would hear, the lame would leap, and that the speechless would sing out. We have Gospels, four Gospels, that tell of these stories, that Jesus did these things. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies, that He did heal the blind and the sick and the deaf. Jesus is the fulfillment of these prophecies. That's what we learn in the Gospels. So when Jesus was here on earth, there began this conversation. People believed that this was the initiation of God's kingdom. God's kingdom had come, and it came in the person of Jesus Christ. There was this fulfillment of the prophecy. This was the Messiah. And then, Jesus died. Jesus goes away for a while, and then comes back again, but then leaves again. Jesus goes into heaven where he says he will prepare a place for those who call upon him as their Savior. So does the kingdom on earth that Jesus initiated, the kingdom that God, that Jesus enacted here on earth, does that just fade away? Does that die? Did Jesus just give people a taste of the kingdom that was to come and say, if you want more of it, you must follow me, and I'll show you that in heaven? Well, as I said, this has been kind of a hard week for me. Keep that in mind. I'll come back to that. It's been a hard week. I was finishing up my final papers and my final projects and final exams this week, and that can be a fair bit of stress. But after all these years now, you know, I've been in school. I think I said at the beginning of the year, it's like year 22 or something for me in school. So I've been doing this a while. I'm used to this stress. But when other things start to add up and hit you at the same time with all these papers and projects, it can be pretty hard to get through. Earlier this week, as I was studying for my Hebrew final, I got the word that Jim had cancer and that Janie was going to be going to the hospital. At that time, she knew she was going to have this echocardiogram. Well, that laid hard upon my heart, laid heavy upon my heart. I didn't fear for their lives at that time, but yet, I love these people, and I do care about them. And it made it harder for me to really concentrate on my studies. So Wednesday, I finished up my Hebrew final, and I did fine on it. I thank the Lord I got through it all right. And I still have this on my heart about Jim and Janie. And then we get this word about Grady Boney, this 15-year-old from our congregation back in Ohio. We get word that Greg Boney decided that life wasn't worth living anymore. Only a freshman in high school, he decided that it would just be better if he was to kill himself than to go on living. So at this time, I'm trying to write my last paper. I needed to write a 6-page reflection and turn it in. It was my last assignment. It was due Thursday morning. And all I could think about was, why, God? Why would you allow this to happen to Jim and Janie? And why would you allow Greg to not realize how much he was loved? Why would these things happen? As I wrote my final paper, it just became a place for me to dump my emotions, to unload upon this paper. It became like a personal diary for me. And I feel bad for Gerald Shank because he's going to have to read it and wonder what was going through this kid's mind. But really, it just became an outlet for me. And when I finished up that paper at about 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, I should have gone out and celebrated somehow. But I didn't feel like celebrating. These things were on my heart, and they still are today. And I continue to ask myself, why? Now, as I was thinking about these scriptures for today, and as I was still having these things lay heavy upon my heart, I thought about Mary and the way she sung to the Lord. Now, Mary didn't know everything that was going to happen because she was carrying God's seed. She didn't know how that was going to affect her life. But surely she knew that it was going to cause her some troubles. We've all thought about the way that society must have looked at her. She was betrothed, but not married. Surely people wondered, was Mary sleeping with somebody else? Did her and Joseph have relations early? What happened here? In spite of all that society was going to say about her and to her, the fact that they might reject her, Mary sung. She was happy. And she praised the Lord that God had chosen her to fulfill his purposes on earth. Now, with all these things that have gone on this week, as difficult as it's been for me, and I'm sure for many of you as well, today I do sing because I know that God has chosen me to fulfill some of his purposes here on earth. And while I don't always know what those purposes are, just like Mary, I know that God wants to use me. And I believe that God has called me to love these people. I think about the power of love. Think about how strong love can be. And I wonder, if Greg Boney had known the power of love, would he still be with us here today? I don't think Greg always understood how much he was loved. You know, he had foster parents that truly loved him and cared for him. And I don't mean to make his birth mother sound bad, but she would at times want the boys. Greg has a younger brother as well. She would want to have Greg and his younger brother Danny living with them. And then about a week or two later, she would decide, you know what, I don't want you anymore. Go live with your foster parents. So I'm just guessing that perhaps Greg didn't feel as loved as he could have whenever his mother pushed him away. And again, I don't mean to blame her. Greg made a decision on his own. But if he had known the love of God through people, then maybe he wouldn't have done this thing. Now, the love that I have cannot cure Jim and Janie. The love that you have cannot cure them either. It is only up to God and the medical world to do so at this time. But that doesn't change our responsibility to call and calling to love them. Now, while love may not cure them, it may be love that can get them through this difficult time. The love of God is an amazing and powerful thing. We are all called to love them, to love one another, and to love each other. So yes, this has been a difficult time, but we are called to live the way God has called us to live. That sounds redundant, and it is. We are called to live as God has called each and every one of us individually. And we are called to live as if the kingdom of God is upon us here today. Because when Christ went to heaven to prepare a place for his followers, he didn't say, that's an end of the kingdom of God here on earth. He told the disciples to continue his work. In Matthew 28, he doesn't tell the disciples to go out and make believers in God. He says, go out and make disciples, followers of God. It takes more than just believing in God. You must be followers of Jesus Christ. So this is the kingdom of God here on earth. We experience the kingdom of God within the church, within the gathering of his believers. Now the kingdom of God will not be fully recognized by any of us until that day when we do go to heaven, when we do meet Jesus face to face. But there is this intermediate kingdom of God here on heaven, or here on earth. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said to them, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray like that, he was saying, God, we know that your kingdom is in heaven, but may you help us to make this place here on earth like your kingdom in heaven. May we make this place, as run down and shabby as this earth might be, may we make it like your kingdom in heaven. And that's what we're called to do. We are called to live by the Word of God, not by the expectations of this world. We are called to love our enemies, to forgive those who hate us, to go the extra mile. It is the upside-down kingdom. It is completely opposite of what the world requires of the people. The world wants us to be powerful and famous and rich. The kingdom of God calls us to be poor and servants. Giving of ourselves, giving of our time, of our energy, and our money. It's so much different than the world around us. That's why Don Cramble calls it the upside-down kingdom. And that kingdom will be fully realized in heaven, but we are to live as a part of the kingdom of God here today. Now, Sonia and I went to UVA yesterday. We went to see Jim and Janie, to see how they were doing. And I've got to tell you that they look pretty good. It was probably the best we've seen Janie in months. But it's been a hard couple of months for that family. They've been through a lot. Janie is sick with some kind of a virus that she's been fighting for some time, and she needs to have surgery. But she can't have surgery until that virus is cured. But she didn't complain. Not one bit. She'll be there for at least a week yet at the hospital. Jim has been diagnosed with some sort of cancer that we don't fully understand. It's not life-threatening, but it is going to be a nuisance for the rest of his life. He's had to run back and forth from Charlottesville to Churchville and back again. He knew that this weather was coming, and he knew it was going to be difficult for him, and he knew all this was happening at Christmas, the time when we're supposed to be full of joy and love and hope and peace. He understood that this was a bad time for anybody to get sick. He knows this. But did Jim complain? No, he didn't. And I think the reason that they didn't complain yesterday is because that they know that they are part of the kingdom of God. They know that they are part of the kingdom of God here on earth, and they know that when they do die, that they will be a part of the kingdom of God in heaven. They are part of the kingdom of God here on earth, the community that lifts them up in prayer daily, holds them dear to their hearts. They are part of the kingdom of God, and they can give and receive love with those that they know, even people that they don't know. And they know that when it is their time to go, that they have a place in heaven, in God's eternal kingdom. Now, as I think about Greg, I think maybe things would have been different if he would have known a little bit more about this kingdom of God here on earth. If he wouldn't have judged himself by the standards of our world, if he wouldn't have thought about how hard it is to make friends when you're going back and forth between school systems and families, if he wouldn't have had to deal with the mockery that he put up with by the peers that he went to school with, maybe he wouldn't have taken his own life. And it is my prayer that God will show him mercy and show him the kingdom of God in heaven. But it's up to God at this point with Greg. So today, while I am sad, while I do have this heavy heart, I also praise God. Like Mary, I don't know exactly how God wants to use me, but I'm glad that He has chosen me and chosen you to fulfill His purposes here on earth. God has chosen us to further His kingdom here on earth, and to further His kingdom in heaven. May we rejoice today in our calling by God. Let us not forget that this world is not perfect. And there will be times when we do have to lament, when we do cry, when we do hurt. But our home is not here. Let us rejoice in our calling by God. May you please join me in prayer. God, we find ourselves in this attitude of sadness, yet in an attitude of praise. Lord, we don't deny that we are saddened at this time, but the things that have gone on around us in this world. Lord, may we not neglect this world, but may we build it up. Build it up as your kingdom on earth for those that are a part of this world at this time. But Lord, may we stay focused on the kingdom that is to come as well. Because you have gone before us to prepare a place. Lord, may we rejoice in our calling, whatever that might be for each and every one of us. But you have called us, and you will equip us to do your good and perfect work. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.